Hey, my name's Xenu, and you're listening to Anti-Moon Boy News. Today we're going to be celebrating the one-year anniversary of Anti-Moon Boy. That's right, I created this channel 1 year ago, and my God, how things have grown. Big thank you to all my supporters. I could not do this without you guys. So we're going to be celebrating that. We also have a article to get to from The Rage about a leaked policy which would impact non-KYC services. So we're going to be reading through that. I'll also be talking about an interview I did this past week with Joel Valenzuela. The beef is over. We had a good conversation, actually a very good conversation. And I have an upcoming interview next week, or this week, I should say, with Vlad, which should be awesome. So we're going to be talking about that as well. But first, we got Super Chats. You can go to xmrchat.com/Xenu if you'd like to participate. The first donation is from Eggman Sailor, who gives 0.01 XMR. Thank you. And he says, the privacy-focused assets maintained stable upward momentum, while other cryptocurrencies struggled with thin liquidity in leveraged positions, a trend that became apparent over the weekend. Well, thanks for that analysis there. I'm not sure about that. I think that with looking at cryptocurrency and how cryptocurrencies can pump or dump at different times, I think there's an argument to look at charts for like long-term trends and stuff, but like looking at short-term stuff is such a crapshoot. It's basically a roulette wheel, and certain cryptos just happen to pump because of things. Generally speaking, I think Monero like kind of does its own thing, and it does have the tendency to move relatively against the market. We've seen this before. But that being said, if Bitcoin dumps, Monero's going to dump with it. That's just how it is. I think it's probably more correct to just look at what the Bitcoin price is doing, and that's going to dictate the market. I think that's more or less what we've seen. But I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe there is something to notice about the privacy coins out there, and seeing how they're moving. Maybe they're moving against the market, but I really have no idea. Next up, we got a donation from Daedalus, who gives 0.02 XMR. Thank you. And he says, I think you mentioned you don't use Cake Wallet on mobile. What wallet do you use on mobile, if any? Yeah, so I use Monerujo. And yeah, I mean, it works. I like the look of it, and it's always been available for Android. So that's kind of just how I like it. Another thing is Cake Wallet, for what it's worth. Cake Wallet it's a very popular wallet for a reason. I think the Cake Wallet team has done they've done a tremendous job of supporting Monero throughout the years, and the donations that Vic has given out has been extraordinary. He supports basically everybody. But I'm just not as into it, I guess, because of all the other stuff that comes with it. Whereas I'm more on the side of just having a wallet for one cryptocurrency. Is that a boomer thing for me? I guess I'm a boomer. I really am. I guess an anti-moon boy is really just another way of saying crypto boomer. I really am, though. I just like having Monerujo for Monero, I guess. And that's kind of it. I have used Cakewall in the past, though. So actually, one time I was in Reno, actually, and I went to an ATM, and it took Bitcoin. So for that occasion, I had actually downloaded Cake Wallet, and I swapped into Bitcoin and then withdrew some cash. Not in KYC, too. It was pretty cool. But Yeah, nothing against Cake Wallet. So I don't want the Cake Wallet people to think I hate it. Not at all. But anyway, yeah. Thank you, Daedalus, for that question. Next up, we got a donation from Leo, who gives 0.03 XMR. Thank you, Leo, as always. And he says, you know why Pirate Chain pumped? Question mark. By the way, Trump didn't cause the recent market crash. Leverage did. Don't give that clown so many credits on technocracy rising. And then he posts a link to a report. Peace. Well, thank you, Leo. As always, you're the man. So yeah, regarding Pirate Chain, I had no idea it pumped. to be honest with you, I didn't even know that. So why it pumped? Probably because Zcash did. I would imagine that, you know, we got this privacy coin bull run narrative, you know, forming. So maybe that's why. Plus, Pirate Chain, of course, uses the Zcash technology as part of its project. So maybe that's why. Or it could just be a whale trying to get people to buy in so they could dump on them. Yeah, I have no idea. Yeah, Trump causing the recent market crash. Well, I mean, I think Trump did cause it, right? Like, because like literally right after he made those comments, the market dumped. But technically, maybe it is just like leverage, you know, and things like that. And, you know, traders, it's kind of like that meme with Powell. And when once Powell says a word, it'll just be green dildos. And then he says another word and it's red dildos, you know. It's kind of like that. I definitely don't give it much credence, you know. I'm not going to pretend like Trump is some mastermind genius. Now, regarding that op-ed piece that you had posted, I didn't read it. I kind of just skimmed it briefly. But basically, it's a long read, but it's very good. You can find it on my XMR chat profile page. But basically, the article is touching upon the growing movement of, you know, acknowledging that technology is accelerating and that this is going to have, you know, obviously an impact. And it's talking about that, right? Now, I am definitely not sold on nation states going away. They have weapons. And if anything, I view kind of a continuation of what we have where the state is probably going to work hand in hand with the tech oligarchs like Peter Thiel, Elon Musk. They're just working with them hand in hand. It's scary stuff though, man, for sure. And, you know, we're starting to get pretty close to AI creations being very realistic. It's already a thing, don't get me wrong, but it's getting worse. By getting worse, I mean it's getting better, and that makes it worse, right? I mean, things are like the prompts that you can make and stuff is crazy. And like people already worship AI, and I mean, I just see all of this getting worse and worse. And I know I'm not alone in that. So when you have people who are raised in a society that's governed by technology, they're going to worship that. So it's kind of like, I do agree with this where like how the new religion is the state that has been said. It's kind of like the new religion will be AI, right? Or technology. It's kind of like if you've noticed, the newest generation of kids loves brain rot culture. And it's really interesting to me because brain rot culture is something that older people don't understand. But for me, I get it. I understand why it's a thing. I understand why it's funny. And it's crazy to think that these people who are growing up as they are now, I mean, they're going to have kids one day. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if you are a kid growing up in this world and AI is just a tool that you're using all the time, imagine the brain rot of AI kids, okay? Like, the generation that's growing up on AI, imagine their brain rot. Like, we have brain rot now, right? And this is something that the older generation doesn't understand. Because it's, you have to understand internet culture. And to understand internet culture, you have to grow up with it. So we have internet culture now, and it's kind of just reached this point where everything's self-aware now. And we're like self-aware of all of history and everything. So with AI though, it's a whole new culture that's going to develop from that. And you're going to have people addicted to AI. Or you already have this, I'm saying, but like, it's going to get way, way worse. And I can't imagine what sick things are going to happen because of that. And I mean, put it this way. I will be able to make a prompt for literally whatever I want. And it's going to be in high definition. Like, it will look realistic. Like, I don't think people are aware that this is going to be happening. And this is terrifying. And I don't know what can be done to stop it. And yeah. So yeah, this is like a massive topic. Another thing too to point out, and I'm going to go to the next super chat in a second, but one other thing too is with like the hyper realistic things that can be created just by prompts, it's more and more necessary to verify your identity. Okay, so one thing that I've talked about with my family is we actually have a passphrase that we give out to each other now. And it can be initiated by whoever there. And the passphrase is like this random anecdote. And it's important to like have like a password, because phishing will be so easy in the future, because you'll be able to like get a very brief recording of somebody's voice and immediately write out a script. And like, can you imagine like if you're an old person and you pick up the phone and, oh yeah, that's my grandson, and someone just catfishing them with AI? I mean, it's probably already happening, but it's going to get so much worse, because you'll be able to do this just with an easy prompt. So, I mean, the whole thing with technology and stuff, it's blackpilling regardless of how you look at it. And I'm definitely more leaning on the doomer side, because just kind of how I am. you guys know who I am at this point, right? I'm definitely more on the doomer side. And I was initially thinking that AI was more of a meme, but now I'm more on the side of, okay, this is real shit, and it's going to start getting weird, like, pretty soon. Like, we're ahead of schedule of where I thought we would be based off what I was seeing like a year ago. So I don't know, man, but thank you so much, Leo, for that link. I really do appreciate that. I will give it a more thorough read later on, because yeah, who knows, maybe I'll have some manifesto about this in the future. Next up, we got a donation from Alex Anarco, who gives 0.0328 XMR. Thank you, Alex. I appreciate that. Danke. And he says, happy 1 year anniversary. So glad you are speaking out and educating the masses. Here's to another year of anti-Moonboy. I mean, that means so much coming from you too. I mean, for those who don't know, Alex Anarco is a content creator himself. He's from Germany, so he has a podcast that's in German. And he actually interviewed me in English. And it was a phenomenal interview. We talked for 2 hours about dark net market maximalism. And I mean, he knows his stuff really well. And it really gets me excited knowing that I got other people out there who are like passionate about this stuff like me. So definitely check his content out and all that. I honestly though, my German listeners are all here because of him, probably. So you guys already know this. But yeah, I mean, Alex is the man. And yeah, we got to meet up one day, man, for sure. I got to make it out to Germany anyways. But thank you. And yes, here's to another year of Anti-Moon Boy. We'll be talking a little bit more about that later in the episode. Next up, we got a donation from Shortwave Surfer 2009, who gives 0.01 XMR. Thank you, Shortwave, as always. And he says, Eggnog, October 14, 2025, 15.39 million Piconeros. October 14th, 2024, 25.10 million Piconeros. Year over year, minus 38.7%. I think those are Piconeros. I don't really know the Monero terminology well, actually. But yeah, minus 38.7% year over year value decrease. Well, there you have it. Eggnog, not a good store of value. Definitely not a good store of value. You got to consume the eggnog because after a year, it deteriorates. But here's the thing, though. Does one eggnog equal one eggnog? Is eggnog fungible? Now, obviously, okay, hold on. Obviously, there's different types of eggnog. But what if you have the same brand of eggnog? Is that eggnog fungible? I think it would be. I think it would be. So anyways, thanks again, Shortwave Surfer, for that one. That's a good one. And yeah, don't buy and hold eggnog. Next up, we got a donation from Don't Read My Name, who gives 0.2 XMR. Thank you so much for that one, man. Appreciate that. And he says, life is about having fun. I love listening to your stuff. Darknet Market Maximalism is top tier. Thank you for creating it. Please remember your exposed online persona. And us, the lurkers, wish to stay invisible. And I love you because of it. Well, again, thank you for that big donation. You know, it's one of those things where I kind of just realized that if I didn't go through with making this content and making Anti-Moon Boy or making Darknet Market Maximalism, like, what am I doing, really? I'm not really doing much. And I'm very proud of Darknet Market Maximalism. I think it will be something that people will be talking about in the future. I really think that it's a great piece of work, and a lot of thought and effort went into it. And I think it defines peer-to-peer cash usage better than anything else right now, you know? And anyways, when I was first thinking about making a channel, though, yeah, I was a little scared about putting my content out there and, you know, having a voice behind that. You know, I'm not showing my face, but I was being a little pussy, to be honest with you, because I didn't want to voice dox myself. And I was like, oh, I'll use an AI. And I was like, you know what? I got a good radio voice. And also, I don't give a shit anymore. If I get doxed, I get doxed. Plus, I'm going to be going to these conferences anyways. So people are going to see me. Kind of is what it is at this point. You know, I'm just a low-key guy in person. So whatever, you know, if my name gets attached to my face, it's not like I have like a social media or anything, you know, I have no social media presence. So, I'm putting my stuff out there. I guess the concern would be, you know, getting attacked by more powerful people or stuff. And this is true. And it is what it is. You know, I'm at peace with God. And I can't lose, you know? So, yeah, I kind of just got tired of just being a Twitter troll. And I was like, you know what? I can make better things. I'm happy I did, man, because, you know, 1 year ago, I was known on Twitter, but, like, people didn't really, like, respect me at all. And I still think a lot of people don't maybe like respect me as like a highly educated, you know, critic of cryptocurrency, which I'm not. I'm a freaking podcaster, right? But I have so many like followers now, and I recognize everybody too. So it's always cool to like see people kind of pop in, say hi and stuff. So yeah, I don't know. I guess it was a good idea to pop my head out and do a little voice doxing. But hey, here's the good news too. If I leave, you can recreate episodes of Anti-Moonboy News in the future with AI. You know, you'll make a prompt like, have Xenu rant about ASIC mining, 20 minutes long. Robot appears at 13 minutes with the vacuum cleaner, you know, something like that. And lastly, we got a donation from Winter is Coming, who gives 0.01 XMR. Thank you. And they say, time to invest energy into heat, hashtag P2 pool. Hello, base department? That's awesome, man. I love it. Yeah, I'm not a miner for the heat of it, but I think that's a really cool concept. You know, yes, you are wasting electricity during some parts of the year. But yeah, I mean, throw out a crypto miner and you can basically cook a bedroom with that stuff, man. Anyways, guys, thank you again for the donations. xmrchat.com/Xenu if you'd like to donate in the future. But yeah, we're going to now move on. So channel updates. Big thing this week. So I was on Joel Valenzuela's podcast and it was interviewed by him. So let's talk about that because that was a big event. So basically, went on a little crypto rant this week and got some engagement for it. It was one of those weeks. I was pumped up. For what it's worth, my podcast last week had the most views, most likes, retweets. It was all over the place doing so well. So I'm really excited about that. I'm getting props from a lot of people I respect. It's been a really good time lately. And I'm on Twitter and I see this post from Vlad Costea. And he says he wants to sell all of his Monero, or he's going to sell it, because of the toxic community, things of that nature. And the culture being bad and stuff. And I had no idea what he was even talking about. I kind of looked into it. Basically, there was this whole, you know, pushback on Twitter because I think there's this guy who's kind of new to Monero and he's being a little gatekeepy about what you can or can't say. And then that got pushed back from people in Monero and there's a lot of shit flinging and you know how it is. It's Twitter. And I'm under the impression that if you go looking for it, you're going to find it, right? So if you go looking for toxic people, guess what? You're going to find toxic people. Like if I want to read the opinions of absolute pussies, I go on Reddit. I go to Reddit, read the front page, and get the completely neutered, horrible take on what is currently happening in the world. You know what I mean? If I go looking for it, I'll find it. Likewise, with social media, especially on X, because Elon Musk has done a very good job of allowing free speech. Now, it's not perfect, but it's a hell of a lot better than it was before. You know, I was on Twitter before Elon Musk and after. And before, you couldn't really get away with much. And so he genuinely deserves credit for that. I know people don't like Elon Musk, but he does deserve credit for that. Anyways, there's this whole drama stuff going on. Again, I didn't even know about this because I don't look for it. I just don't care. I go on Twitter throughout the day, check people who are replying to my tweets and stuff. Maybe I get a DM or something. it's part of my business, you know? And anyways, I saw that tweet from Vlad, and it's like, dude, what are you doing? So I called him out on Twitter. I'm like, listen, get me on your show. We're going to talk about culture. Because he of course also was shilling Zcash and Xano. And so I'm like, dude, get me on your podcast. We'll talk about this. So we're going to do it. So I'm really excited for that. It's going to be Friday. For what it's worth, by the way, I'm going to break kayfabe here. When I messaged Vlad, I was like, hey, I'm going to call you a retard on Twitter, by the way, to get engagement. He was cool with that. So we're just joking on Twitter. It's not going to be a hostile debate. Well, maybe it will be. I don't know. But no, I think it's going to be very cordial. I think it's going to be very friendly, and we're going to talk about really good things. I'm very excited for it, actually. But that is this upcoming Friday. Does he do a show? I think he does a show live, right? So you'll be able to listen to it. Hopefully we'll have some good engagement with that. So anyway, I made that post, and a part of the responses was Joel Valenzuela. And Joel, you know, he's somebody who I've gotten into it with Twitter in the past and probably will continue to do so in the future because he's that kind of guy. But he said, hey, I'd like to have you appear in my show. And I was like, you know what? Why not, right? And I'm really happy I did. So we were DMing, we set up a time, and last Friday, we recorded a 2-hour interview, and it was fantastic. I give Joel a lot of credit. You know, he didn't, like, it was a very well-planned interview, right, where the questions were all kind of based off the last thing and kind of just logically followed. And was not antagonistic. It was very respectful back and forth kind of conversation. It was great. And you know, I did check him on a few things, but you know, I think we have disagreements in general, but it is what it is. And so anyways, I'm retiring my insult for him. I used to call him Vuvuzela, Joel Vuvuzela. I'm gonna retire it now. All right. It's in the past. He's now Joel Valenzuela again. Although I think he should adopt the Vuvuzela nickname. I think that actually has some heat to it, to be honest with you. So do check that interview out. It's 2 hours. And, you know, to kind of summarize some of the topics here, the first was like about culture in cryptocurrency. And I define it as this relationship between the technology and the anarcho-capitalism. And it's kind of like this push-pull between the two. And, you know, I talked a good deal about that. And then we talked about a bunch of different kind of related things. You know, we talked about dev tax for a little bit. We talked about the cubic stuff. And we were talking about, like, culture in general. And I flat out told him, I'm like, listen, like, the reason Monero has more like extremist types of people is because Monero just has more people. You know, it's just a larger user base. And yeah, there's extremists in Monero. You know, what of it? And I think I got my point across. And the last question he asked me was pretty funny too. He's like, when will you take Zcash seriously? Or something like that. And I was like, listen, let's keep it simple. Darknet markets. And this is legitimately how I feel about Zcash. If Zcash is adopted on darknet markets, it becomes a much more serious project to me. And I think a lot of my listeners will agree with me on that. Because things get a lot harder once that happens. And I'm pushing hard on Zcash right now because I think that cultural kind of change is very necessary for a project like Zcash. Now, here's the thing. Some of my followers are probably against me even trying to have these conversations. And I get it, okay? But what you have to understand here is that we need digital cash, okay? And if Zcash ends up being used more than Monero, then that's just what it is. We have to make the best of it. And so I am genuinely agnostic when it comes to cryptocurrency. And so I do not believe that Zcash is going to overtake Monero on darknet markets, but if it happens, it happens. And I will be reporting it. And you would be surprised too. I've also seen on Twitter, there are people on Zcash who are darknet market maximalist people. They do exist, and they do not like the kind of culture that Zcash has right now, where it's very antagonistic against us darknet market maximalists. And I'm with those guys. It's like, listen, like, if you have this great technology, why are you guys like virtue signaling all the time? You know? So I thought it was a good conversation. Definitely check it out. It's about 2 hours long, and we talk about a bunch of different stuff. And yeah, I give Joel a lot of credit. You know, that's a guy, not to be a simp for him or anything, but like, he's been here for a while. He knows a lot of people, and it might offend people that he's talking to me, you know, because he's apparently friends with some of these high up Zcash guys. He knows Zuko, for example, because in the podcast I mentioned I'm blocked by him. And he's like, oh yeah, I'm friends with Zuko. And he's like, oh, I'm friends with him. I'm like, oh, okay. But it's no animosity, right? So anyways, it was a good conversation. So anyways, on Friday, I'll be talking to Vlad, and we'll be talking all about Zcash culture. I think he's going to ask me about, you know, full chain membership proofs and stuff. So it's going to be a great conversation, and I'm looking forward to it. So anyways, with that out of the way, it's time to have our anniversary celebration, which I actually missed last week, technically. Well, what happened was I went on my YouTube page and I went to the very first video and I was like, oh shit. Cause I thought it was October 14th and turns out it was October 10th was the birthday. So anyway, whatever. It doesn't really matter because the birthday has happened and we have to celebrate. So here in the room with me, we have a whole host of characters. We have Robot.
Beboop. Hello, listeners. Beboop.
Hello, Robot. And also, he has his girlfriend with him, the vacuum cleaner. Hello, vacuum cleaner. And we have my neighbor, who you guys all love, Tony from New York. What's up, Tony?
Hey, what's going on, everybody? These fucking moon boys, man. I'm telling you, they're out of fucking control.
Yeah, I'm done. I know, Tony. I know. Kind of crazy. Anyways, guys, everyone's here, and I just want to say to you guys, the listeners, thank you guys so much. It's been a really great year. Really, really fantastic year. And never thought we would have made it 1 year with as many followers as I have now. I really, really appreciate it. And we're excited to have another year of anti-moon boy. And yeah, who knows where I'll end up. It's crazy to think about. Do you guys want to say anything?
Beboop. I like Xenu quite a bit, actually. I do not like him more than Toasters, but I like Xenu. Beboop.
Well, thank you very much, Robot. That's very sweet of you. Vacuum cleaner, you wanted to say something? Oh, thank you very much. And Tony, did you want to say something?
Yo, why the fuck you guys talking to a vacuum cleaner?
Well, it's Robot's girlfriend. They've been dating for a few weeks and long story. Anyways, thank you guys so much for all the support. Here's to another year of anti-moon boy. Okay, guys, next up, let's read through an article from The Rage, the best crypto journalism website out there. Thank you again from The Rage. The headline of this article is KYC All the Things. Is market structure blowing up? And a leaked proposal by Senate Democrats would give Treasury sweeping powers to ban non-custodial services, establishing authority over what code can be deployed and what code can't. Last month,
Senate Republicans published a draft for digital asset market structure known as the Responsible Financial Innovation Act, REFA, that proposes to retroactively amend money transmission laws to protect developers and exempt non-custodial services from the Bank Secrecy Act, which governs the application of Know Your Customer procedures. Democrats and Republicans now need to agree on the text, but a leaked counterproposal suggests that finding common ground is not going to be easy. Democrats are proposing for the Treasury to be able to designate effectively any non-custodial software developer a digital assets intermediary, suggest introducing blacklists for DeFi software used for illicit activity, and applying KYC to non-custodial services. Industry responses have since made clear the Democrats' proposal is unworkable, but it may not be grounds to panic. According to the text, published in full by Eleanor Terrett of Crypto in America, Democrats would like to enable the Treasury to, quote, designate any DeFi protocol, front-end application, or other access point, whether sufficiently decentralized or not, or any class of these entities onto a restricted list if the protocol has been used for or by sanctions evasion, illicit finance, money laundering, or terrorist financing, including entities incorporated, headquartered, or primarily operating in jurisdictions subject to U.S. sanctions, or entities owned and controlled by persons in such jurisdiction. U.S. persons and financial institutions subject to U.S. jurisdiction shall be prohibited from transacting with or providing access to entities on the restricted list, subject to general or specific licenses Treasury may issue, including for wind down, victim remediation, investigative cooperation, or other activities in the public interest, end quote. As CoinCenter's Peter Valkenburg explains on X, the proposal would overview the Van Loon Tornado Cash sanctions decision, creating a blacklist of software that Americans can't use. According to the text, Democrats would like to designate anyone a digital asset intermediary who designs, deploys, operates, or profits from a DeFi front end that facilitates covered activities, which Democrats describe as trading, custody, settlement, lending, etc. Under the proposal, intermediaries would be liable under the BSA as well as under the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, which governs sanctions application. The Democrats' proposal appears to echo a recent proposal made by the White House Digital Asset Working Group, calling on Congress to consider applying the BSA to DeFi services, as well as guidance published by the Financial Action Task Force, which argues that even a front-end could be defined as a virtual asset service provider. The classification as an intermediary would additionally be tied to new risk management standards, which would include, among other things, ongoing monitoring for fraud manipulation, sanctions evasion, money laundering or other illicit finance activity, periodic reporting and record keeping sufficient to permit supervisory examination and enforcement, and impose independent audits on non-custodial code. The decision over what protocols would be classified as an intermediary and what can be deemed sufficiently decentralized should lie with the Treasury, Democrats propose, but writing or publishing open source code is not a violation, absent deployment, control, or profit from the protocol, the text adds. Democrats have previously hinted at holding intermediaries accountable for illicit activity, as opposed to the Senate's RFIA, which specifically exempts developers from both criminal liability as well as the application of the BSA. The Democrats' proposal doesn't regulate crypto. It bans crypto, writes Variant Funds Chief Legal Officer Jake Chervinsky. This proposal is less a regulatory framework and more an unprecedented, unconstitutional government takeover of an entire industry. It's not just anti-crypto, it's anti-innovation and a dangerous precedent for the entire tech sector. The bill forces front-end and non-custodial software developers to KYC users, gives agencies unchecked power for selective regulation by letting the Treasury define sufficient influence over a protocol however it pleases, and authorizes Treasury to ban anything in DeFi, Chervinsky adds. So there's a little more here, but I'll stop reading. And, you know, I'm just going to say here, recently, this whole Zcash pump is happening. You know, so I made a post on Twitter the other day basically saying it's very curious how these Zcash supporters aren't rebellious like the Monero people. They don't cheer on delistings like we do. I said, quote, every single time you bring up the ramifications for fighting the state with uncensorable transactions, the Zcash community is unable to respond. We point to Monero's delistings and they don't think it will happen to Zcash. I wonder why. That's the thing. Privacy in cryptocurrency is under attack on every single front. And so, if you are a Zcash supporter and you want Zcash to succeed, it needs to be attacked. That might be a weird perspective, but it's the actual truth. If your project is not being actively attacked by the state, it's probably not putting up a fight. And I mean, this article here, this leaked policy, I don't think this is going to pass. Maybe it will. But like, this is nothing new. If you've been following my channel, you would know that this is like par for the course. And things like that are being proposed here, they're going to become very common very soon. And it's going to become very hard to access cryptocurrency in the future, non-KYC. I would argue we're probably less than a year away from CoinSwap services being shut down. I'm surprised it hasn't happened yet, to be honest. I think that's going to be the shoe drop next over the next year for Anti-Moonboy. I think that's the big story that's going to break over the next year, is a CoinSwap service being shut down. And ClearNet CoinSwap, you know, applications being a thing of the past. I think that's what's going to happen. And I will say this about Zcash. Credit to them. They've invested a lot of money in decentralized options because they have access to that money, right? Monero is still building stuff. We're going to actually be talking about Thor in a second, but we have Sarai, right? That's, fingers crossed, Sarai is going to be great. We're very excited about that here at Anti-Moonboy. We have Basic Swap, right? We're happy about that. We're happy about RioSwap. But yeah, I think it's inevitable that acquiring cryptocurrency without giving an identification is going to be like a completely foreign concept in the future. And it already is like difficult to do. It's just going to get harder. So any project that's subverting this concept is going to get attacked. And yeah, I mean, I bring this up and I mean it. You know, this is not me even being an asshole. It's me pointing out facts. It's like, listen, if you guys, if Zcash is legit, it's going to get attacked by the state. And you guys have fun with that, because we've been having a lot of fun. Okay. We've been really enjoying it. I mean, the long-term Monero holders have really suffered because of it, because I mean, Monero has been attacked price-wise because of the regulations and because of its of these delistings, and Zcash has not seen any of that smoke. It has seen a little bit, but nowhere near to what Monero has dealt with. So anyway, this is a great article. Definitely check that out. It's not the end of the world, but it's just another signal of things to come. Next up, is Monero going to be added to Thorchain? A CCS proposal was created by the Thorchain guy. So to start things off, they are requesting $200,000 in funds for liquidity, $100,000 for the work required for the Monero TSS, and $100,000 in peripheral management, environment, wallet, ecosystem work. So the request itself is getting pretty negative reviews by the Monero faithful, and I'm not disagreeing with these guys at all. Historically, Thorchain has been terrible. It is what it is. They've just made some poor decisions, And they're asking for a lot of money here. Like a lot. Like, why do we need to give you that much in liquidity? Is this even going to be used? I don't know. Now, Monero is used, but like, I don't understand why they're asking for as much money as they are. You know, in the past, they've said that listing Monero would be risky from a regulatory perspective, and they didn't want to do it. You know, it's like, then why are you guys here? Maybe that was in the past, but these things are still here. And you can see for yourself on the Monero CCS, there's been some responses. Luke Parker responded in full, and he gave a very good response. I'm not going to read the whole thing here. It's kind of not worth it, but kind of tore him apart. Monero Bull also has a pretty good response here. And I mean, yeah, asking for that much money without really providing that much information. The proposal itself was very short. It's suspect, to be honest. It's very, I don't know. And a criticism that's thrown at Monero is that we are elitist, you know. We have to turn down shit like this. You know, the amount of vultures in cryptocurrency is so high. It's like, listen, we need more options, decentralized options in Monero. Absolutely. I'm not going to argue against that. We need more. And I support this out of principle of that. But there's a lot not to like about this as well. And namely, the amount of money they're asking is friggin' insane. And I think nowhere near the amount they need for this. But also, their track record, not that great. And also, things they're saying are inaccurate. If you read the proposal, there's inaccuracies here that are called out by Luke Parker that are just kind of like, this seems kind of thrown together. And we're better than that. We're going to push back against that. So it's got a lot of negative feedback right now. And I have a feeling this probably isn't going to go forward. But you know what? If ThorChain really wants to add Monero support, and I think they should listen to our criticisms and they should do something about it. Last thing we're going to talk about today, dark.fail. And if you don't know, dark.fail is one of the Tor aggregate providers. Their influence has really shrunk over the past year or so. They're just not as active. Some people think they're compromised. And I think there's reason to consider that. Anyways, they tweeted out, "Everyone should be considering Monero alternatives. Know the top currency used on the darknet for years has many expert adversaries trying to compromise it. Rotate and diversify. Don't stake your life on one privacy technology. Layer with multiple. Maxism gets you arrested." Now here's the thing, okay? This is actually really dangerous advice, and I'm not saying that because I like Monero a lot. I'm saying that because people are using Monero because they don't know what the hell they're doing. And people who don't know what the hell they're doing shouldn't be doing research into something they don't know the hell about. It's kind of like there's this concept that people have that every average Joe who wants to use privacy is going to actually do a lot of research on it, when the reality is that's what's not going to happen. And like, we can debate different projects for hours. We can set up interviews about it, right? Or we can just say, well, this is used, and here's a simple flowchart you can follow of A, B, and C that you need to do, right? Follow this checklist. Do these things. You'll be private. And that's what people are doing. Now, this is not to say people should not be researching on their own time. That is absolutely great advice. What's a bad advice, though, is saying that they need to be doing this because Monero isn't good. Because that's the implication here. He's implying that everyone should be considering Monero alternatives. Why? Monero works great. Do you have anything counter to that? How is Monero not great? You know what I mean? Because let me tell you something. I can say very negative things about how chain analysis can be used to attack other projects. You know, we're talking about Zcash a lot. I can tell you how Zcash can be attacked very easily. And so it's like every project can be attacked. Like literally every single project. And when I hear people giving this kind of blanket advice like this, it just reeks of someone who's compromised. I'll be honest with you guys. This doesn't read right at all to me. Furthermore, he says rotate and diversify. That just reeks of moonboyism in investing, which, you know, immediately disqualifies him, to be honest. It's great to research alternatives on your own time. That if that was the tweet, it's like, listen, Monero is great, but we should probably be making more cryptocurrencies that are private. If that was a tweet, I'm full on board with that. I'm totally on board. Like, yeah, we should. But instead, it's framed in a way that's like, Monero's bad. Guys, we should be rotating into other... We got to invest in other privacy coins. It's a bull run, guys. That's what it reads like. It's fucking Moonboy pussy shit. So, I don't know what's gotten into this guy. I don't know if his account's been bought. He hasn't really been tweeting any content over the past year or so. It reeks that it's been bought, is really what I'm trying to say. And I wouldn't be surprised if he starts tweeting about Zcash soon. Anyways, guys, that is the episode. AntiMoonBoy.com. Thank you guys so much for the support. You can buy my merch, AntiMoonBoy.com/merch. I'm going to be heading out now. Have a great week. We'll be right back.